Manuscript Releases, Volume 8, Numbers 526 to 663. M.R. Number 595, Avondale College, 1894 to 1900. We have now reached an important time in the history of our school in Australia. We should find a more suitable location. As yet, the providence of God has not opened the way for us to move from the city to a more favorable place. We are waiting and watching and working. At last, it is decided to locate the school at Morisset, or Dora Creek, New South Wales. We feel sorry for the delay, but must accept this as one of the all things that work for good. My worry in regard to the school matter ended some time since. I am no longer on the anxious seat, so far as that question is concerned. In the dream you have heard me relate, words were spoken of land which I was looking at, and after deep ploughing and thorough cultivating, it brought forth a bountiful harvest. The decision we have so long contemplated has been made in regard to the land we contemplate purchasing for the school. The tract comprises 1,500 acres, which we obtain for about $4,500. True education is the inculcation of those ideas which will impress the mind with the knowledge of God, the Creator, and Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. The education given in our schools should be of that character which will strengthen the spiritual intelligence and give an increased knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. This kind of education will qualify men to become missionaries. Unless our schools rise to a much higher plane of action, their candlestick will be removed out of its place. The end of all true education is expressed in the words of Christ: "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." John 17, verse 3. Manuscript 40, 1895, page 4. Education, January 9th, 1895. In every school, Satan has tried to make himself the guide of the teachers who instruct the students. It is he who has introduced the idea that selfish amusements are a necessity. Students sent to school for the purpose of receiving an education to become evangelists, ministers, and missionaries to foreign countries should not have received the idea that amusements are essential to keep them in physical health, when the Lord has presented before them that the better way is to embrace in their education manual labor in the place of amusements. Those who have not felt the necessity of studying hard have never laid the foundation for an acquirement of real knowledge of how to read their Bibles intelligently, how to obtain a knowledge from the Word of the living God, how to love God supremely and their neighbor as themselves. This is the real essence of education. If a school building could be erected, it might serve as a chapel, or if a chapel could be built, it might answer for a time for school purposes. Time will develop methods and plans. May the Lord give us wisdom. The work done by the students there was the best thing that could have been done. We feel so thankful that we have made the experiment, and can testify that the land, when thoroughly cultivated, will yield its treasures in fruit and vegetables. This is a fact that we have felt it necessary to demonstrate. True education strengthens the moral powers, expands the mind, and should be cultivated. But the grand educating book found in nature, which hears and sees God, has been greatly neglected. God help us to teach correctly what constitutes an all-sided education. We are bound about with poverty, no one to draw from, not a soul in this country who comes up and makes a donation. In America, all is close and times are hard. I determined to set my trees even before the foundation of the house was built. We broke up only furrows, leaving large spaces unplowed. Here in these furrows, we planted our trees the last of September. And lo, this year they were loaded with beautiful blossoms, and the trees were loaded with fruit. It was thought best to pick off the fruit, although the trees had obtained a growth that seemed almost incredible. The small amount of fruit, peaches and nectarines, have served me these 3 weeks. They were delicious early peaches. We have later peaches, only a few left to mature as samples. Our pomegranates looked beautiful in full bloom. Apricots were trimmed back in April and June, but they threw up their branches, and in 5 weeks, by measurement, had a thrifty growth of 5 and 8 feet. If the Lord prospers us next year, as he has done the past year, we will have all the fruit we wish to take care of, early and late. The early fruit comes when there is nothing else, so this is an important item. The peaches are rich and juicy and grateful to the taste. We have quince trees set out, and lemon, orange, apple, plum, and persimmon trees. We have even planted elderberry bushes. We planted our vineyard in June. Everything is flourishing, and we shall have many clusters of grapes this season. We have a large strawberry bed, which will yield fruit next season. We have a few cherry trees, but the testimony is that the land is not good for cherries. But so many false, discouraging testimonies have been born in regard to the land that we pay no attention to what they say. We shall try every kind of a tree. We have a large number of mulberry trees and fig trees of different kinds. This is not only good fruit land, but it is excellent in producing root crops and tomatoes, beans, peas, potatoes, 2 crops a season. All these good treasures that the land will yield have been brought in from Sydney and Newcastle, and thousands of acres of land have been untouched because the owners say they will not raise anything. We have our farm as an object lesson. The school orchard is doing excellently well. If the land is worked, it will yield its treasures. But weeds will grow, and those who own land will not exercise ambition to take these weeds out by the roots and give them no quarter. Deep ploughing must be done. They let a few orange trees grow in the sod, also the lemons. We get the choicest, best oranges for 3 pence and 2 pence halfpenny per dozen. 6 cents, American money. And 4 and 5 cents per dozen for large, beautiful, sweet oranges. We have a large space of land devoted to ornamental trees and flowers. I have scoured the country for different plants, and I have a large bush of lemon verbena, honeysuckle. We have a large variety of roses, dahlias, gladioli, geraniums, pinks, pansies, and evergreens. This must be a sample settlement, to tell what can be raised here. I hope that all who can possibly do so will come to this first term of school, where the Bible will be made the most important line of study. The father it, the church, is removed from the school buildings, calling the students to go to and from the place of meeting, the better will be the influence. The youth at Avondale School should be taught to look upon physiology as one of the essential studies. Ever remember that whatever their age, the youth who attend school need instruction on physiology, that they may understand the house they live in. We shall have to build a hospital on the school grounds just as soon as we can get means. While special pains may be taken to make the school what it should be, 2 or 3 students who act like larrikins may make it very hard for those who are trying to maintain order. The students who want to do right, who want to think soberly, are greatly hindered by the association of those who are doing cheap, miserable work. We have not established the school to be a place where students are permitted to give loose rein to their own ways and objectionable traits of character. If you do not and will not consent to be under control and to behave yourselves as gentlemen, you have the privilege of returning to your homes. The rooms that have been dedicated to God must not be defiled by your improper conversation and lawless course of action. You have not been taught to believe that diligent use of the muscles, combined with mental labor, is the most useful education that can be obtained for practical life. We have had evidence that 4 or 5 years of study in the schools in America has brought our youth back to Australia without an all-round experience. Some who have spent the longest time in America, we have to begin to educate in regard to the first principles of the necessities of our school. The teaching should be of a higher class, of a more sacred, religious order, than has been in schools generally. Human nature is worth working upon, and it is to be elevated, refined, sanctified, and fitted with the inward adorning which is in the sight of God of great price. Let the physical be employed in useful labor that will be doing good. 136, 1897, 5, 21. Principles of Education for Avondale, December 1, 1897. We have labored hard to keep in check everything in the school like favoritism, attachments, and courting. We have told the students that we would not allow the first thread of this to be interwoven with their schoolwork. On this point, we were as firm as a rock. I told them that they must dismiss all idea of forming attachments while at school. The young ladies must keep themselves to themselves, and the young gentlemen must do the same. The school was established at a great expense, both of time and labor, to enable students to obtain an all-round education, that they might gain a knowledge of agriculture, a knowledge of the common branches of education, and above all, a knowledge of the Word of God. The study of the Word is to be their educator. From the light given me in the night season before I came, I was sure that here the school should be located.
One thing, I'm thinking. You are crowding families altogether too near the school. I advise that a large space of land be reserved, without settling families so near the school. We see the folly of this. Let them locate at some distance from the immediate school lands. When families come in that can render moral strength to the workers in the school, then you have accomplished a good job. But from the light given me, there will be, as there is now, those who shall settle on the land who will be thorns in our sides. If these buildings had all been put up, we should not have had the best ideas of what was wanted. The third building would have been connected with the second. Now we seem to understand better the plans we need to work to. Having the school in operation has improved our methods and plans for the third building. We feel that the third building must be a dormitory for the gentlemen students, and must be in another location, a little distance from the building for the girls. This is, we learn, a positive necessity, and therefore we shall act in building very differently from that which we would have done if we had built at once. The most essential experience to be gained by the teacher and the student is that obtained in seeking for the salvation of the souls for whom Christ has died. Teachers and students are to work for the recovery of that which was lost through transgression. I wish to be counted out and find some place where I can be away from the school and give myself entirely to the work of getting out my books. The Lord has ever placed the school interest before any other enterprise, and I have no hesitancy in saying that at this time the school interest must come first, and more than that, must be kept first. An encouraging class of students are in attendance who are having the advantages of education. They are learning from nature's book the lessons essential for them in their religious life. They need also to learn to spell correctly, to write in a clear, fair hand, and to keep accounts. This last study has been strangely dropped out of our schoolwork, but it should be considered an essential branch. 79. 1898. 2, 3. Missionary Work, A Means of Education, June 22, 1898. Every soul is to obtain an education with the object in view of imparting this knowledge to others. We have a special work to do in educating and training our children, that they may not, either in attending school or in association with others, mingle with the children of unbelievers. In every case of illness, treatment is to be accompanied by prayer. The boy whose ankle was cut to the bone with glass was a terrible case, but he was completely cured, and his grandfather, a Catholic with whom he lives, came yesterday to put him into the primary school at Avondale. We have several students from outside, that is, non-Adventists, attending the school. Our students are now deciding their eternal destiny. They are deciding whether they are willing to be fitted for the companionship of angels. 84. 1898. 4. Notes of the work during the week of prayer, July 3, 1898. Before I visited Kurenbong, the Lord gave me a dream. In my dream, I was taken to the land that was for sale in Kurenbong. Several of our brethren had been solicited to visit the land, and I dreamed that as I was walking upon the ground, I came to a neat cut furrow that had been ploughed 1/4 yard deep and 2 yards in length. Two of the brethren, who had been acquainted with the rich soil of Iowa, were standing before this furrow and saying, "This is not good land. The soil is not favorable." But one who has often spoken in council was present also, and he said, "False witness has been born of this land." Then he described the properties of the different layers of earth. He explained the science of the soil, and said that this land was adapted to the growth of fruit and vegetables, and that, if well worked, would produce its treasures for the benefit of man. This dream I related to Brother and Sister Starr and my family. The next day we were on the cars, on our way to meet others who were investigating the land. And as I was afterward walking on the ground where the trees had been removed, lo, there was a furrow just as I had described it, and the men also who had criticized the appearance of the land. The words were spoken just as I had dreamed. 62. 1898. 2. Selection of the school land at Kurenbong, June 26, 1898. Will you, the Seventh-day Adventist churches in Australia, do your best to help the school established here to help young men and young women, and those older in years to obtain an education, but will qualify them to work intelligently as missionaries? In our school at Avondale, we are seeking to make the Word of God the foundation of all the education given.
Our school is different from any school that has been instituted. The Bible is taking the place in the school that it should always have had. 137, 1898, page 10. To Brethren Irwin, Evans, Smith, and Jones, April 21, 1898. The greater distance that I can be from the school, the more safe will it be for me in every way. I cannot be where there is a constant burden upon my soul. I must be where I will not have to press through a mass of rubbish of opinion and ideas and sentiments received in education that are not sound. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. This is the higher education, to learn the meekness and lowliness of Christ. Our school must be a model school for others who shall establish schools in Australia. Every movement we make must tell. This school has been established in the order of God, that young men and young women may be partakers of the divine nature by linking up with Christ. 8. 1899, 2. Talk given by Sister White at the opening of the school, February 1, 1899. We are fitting for heaven, the higher school. It is because we desire you to learn of God and His law that we have established a school here, and the students are to understand that they must be obedient. They are to place themselves under the rules and regulations of the school. As soon as they persist in introducing into the school practices which the school was established to separate from students, they will be separated from the school, because we have not consented to engage in this expense and hired, that is, borrowed, hundreds of pounds to establish a school here to bring together students who will carry out wrong practices. Courting is not to be carried on in the school. The Review and Herald, March 28, 1899, page 194, indicates that at that time only about half of the students were over 16 years of age. That is not what you are here for. We are here to prepare for the future life. 66, 1899, 156. Extracts from a talk given by Mrs. E. G. White at the opening of College Hall, Avondale, April 17, 1899. This field is large and has been represented to me as a new world, a second America, but very different from America in its government. But America is far from being what it once was. I feel sorry when I consider this. It is of no use for men to purchase large volumes of history, supposing that by studying these they can gain great advantage in learning how to reach the people at this stage of the earth's history. As I see the shelves piled up with ancient histories and other books that are never looked into, I think, why spend your money for that which is not bread? We do not need ancient lore to tell us the things we must know now, just now. There must be expansion and expansion. The mind of the educator becomes impoverished by being kept in a class of labor which does not lead the mind to higher subjects. I spoke in regard to the importance of the teachers and students becoming fully consecrated to God and making the very most of their God-given time and opportunities, and increasing in ability and in spiritual comprehension. We have now, I believe, all attending the school converted. The object of the school is to educate children to consecrate themselves to God. God has said that the school in New South Wales should be an object lesson to our people in all other parts of the world. 18, 1901, 7. Canvassing for Christ's Object Lessons, February 27, 1901. The students in the Avondale School should have the advantages of those chapters of experience to be gained in this little sanitarium. In no case should this part of their education be dropped out or neglected. The Avondale Retreat can be made an educating influence, and, in connection with its work, principles may be brought into the work of the students which shall help to qualify them to do the special work for this time. When we came to Avondale to examine the estate, I went with the brethren to the tract of land. After a time, we came to the place I had dreamed of, and there was the furrow that I had seen. The brethren looked at it in surprise. How had it come to be there, they asked. Then I told them the dream that I had had. Last Friday night, after retiring, a great burden came upon me. I could not sleep until midnight. About the time of the beginning of the Sabbath, I lay down upon the lounge and, an unusual thing for me to do, fell asleep. Then some things were presented before me.
Some persons were selecting allotments of land on which they purposed to build their homes, and one stood in our midst and said, "You are making a great mistake, which you will have cause to regret. This land is not to be occupied with buildings, except to provide the facilities essential for the teachers and students of the school. This is the school farm. This land is to be reserved as an acted parable to the students. They are not to look upon the school land as a common thing, but as a lesson book which the Lord would have them study. Its lessons will impart knowledge in the spiritual culture of the soul. For you to settle this land with private houses, and then be driven to select other land at a distance for school purposes would be a great mistake, always to be regretted. All the land upon the ground that is not needed for buildings is to be considered the school farm, where youth may be educated under well-qualified superintendents. The Lord would have the school grounds dedicated to Him as His own schoolroom. The church premises are not to be invaded with houses. We are located where there is plenty of land. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool.
Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Isaiah 66, verse 1. We have had an experience to teach us what this means. Nearly 1 year ago, as we were living the last days of the old year, my heart was in a burdened condition. I had matters opening before me in regard to the dangers of disposing of land near the school for dwelling houses. We seemed to be in a council meeting, and there stood one in our midst who was expected to help us out of our difficulties. The words spoken were plain and decided. This land, by the appointment of God, is for the benefit of the school. You have recently had an evidence of human nature, what it will reveal under temptation. The more families you settle about the school buildings, the more difficult it will be for teachers and students. Released March 17, 1977.